Welcome to Zichron Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Mezekas Erevin Daf Samaches. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, an incident involving spilled hot water indicated that the chatzur that Abaye and Rabbi lived in had no erev nor shittuv. On our Daf, Rabbi Chanan asked Abaye how it was possible that a mavi that had these two great men live in it didn't have an erev or shittuv. Abaye responded that there wasn't anything he could do. It was not the orche, literally the way of Rabba, to collect the shittuv. Rashi explains that it would be beneath his dignity to collect the food. Abaye said that he himself was too busy learning, and the other residents didn't care if there was a shittuv. He also said that it wasn't possible for him to transfer ownership of the bread in his basket to the other residents, since if they were to request their portion of the erev, he would not be able to give it to them. Rashi explains that since Abaye could not afford to give away his bread every week, it indicates that he was not willing to treat the other residents as full-fledged partners. Abaye brought a braisa that stated, Echo mene mavui shabikish yain v'shema unasnu lo batol shittuv. If one member of the mavui requested the wine or oil of the shittuv and they didn't give it to him, the shittuv is annulled. Point number two, this machlok is whether one resident of a chatzar can be mevatel his rishus to the second resident, and then the second resident be mevatel his rishus back to the first resident later. Rav said, mevatlin v'chozrin mevatlin, and Shmuel said, ein mevatlin v'chozrin umevatlin. The Gemara suggests that the machlok is linked to the machlok between the Chachamim and Eliezer on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, whether when one who is mevatel his rights in his chatzar is also mevatel his rights in his house. Rav holds like the Chachamim that he retains his rights in the house, and therefore someone who is mevatel his rights to the chatzar is not completely removed from it and is not viewed as a member of another chatzar. Shmuel holds like Reb Eliezer holds that he does relinquish his rights to his house, thereby totally removing himself from the chatzar, and he's therefore considered like a resident of another chatzar and may not receive back the rights to his former chatzar. While this linkage is rejected by some, Rav Ashi did accept this explanation. And point number three, in the Mishnah Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, where Gamliel mentioned an incident with a tzeduki that lived in his chatzar, from which we learned that a tzeduki may be mevatel's rights in a chatzar. The Gemara here asks where Gamliel mentioned a tzeduki when the Tanakhama didn't discuss a tzeduki at all, and answers that it's a case of a chesuri michsura. The Tanakhama stated tzeduki, hayru kanachri, a tzeduki is like a nachri, in that he may not be mevatel's rishus. The Rabban Gamliel omer tzeduki eino kanachri. And Rabban Gamliel said that a tzeduki is not like a nachri, and he may relinquish his rights. That's why Rabban Gamliel's father told him to hurry and carry out their kailin to the mavui. Meaning, the story was that the tzeduki was mevatel's rights in the chatzar. Rabban Gamliel's father told him to carry out their kelim before the tzeduki carried out his own kelim into the mavui and restrict them. Rashi explains that they must use the mavui after the start of Shabbos to demonstrate that they have seized the tzeduki's rights, which he was mevatel. So once again, the 3 points are: point number one, on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, an incident involving spilled hot water indicated that the chatzar that Abaye and Rabba lived in had no erev or shittuv. On our Daf, Rabba bar Rav Chanan asked Abaye how it was possible that a mavui that had these two great men live in it didn't have an erev or shittuv. Abaye responded that there wasn't anything he could do. It was not the orche, literally the way, of Rabba to collect the shittuv. Rashi explains that it would be beneath his dignity to collect the food. Abaye said that he himself was too busy learning, and the other residents didn't care if there was a shittuv. He also said that it wasn't possible for him to transfer ownership of the bread in his basket to the other residents, since if they were to request their portion of the erev, he wouldn't be able to give it to them. Rashi explains that since Abaye could not afford to give away his bread every week, it indicates that he wasn't willing to treat the others as full-fledged partners. Abaye brought a braisa that stated, Echad minei mavui shabikish yain v'shemen, monasnu lo batol ha-shittuv. One member of the mavui requested the wine or oil of the shittuv, and they didn't give it to him, the shittuv is annulled. Point number two, there's Malchokas, where the one resident of a chatzar can be mevatel's rishus to the second resident, and then the second resident be mevatel's rishus back to the first resident later. Rav said, mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin, and Shmuel said, ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. The Gemara suggests that their Malchokas is linked to the Malchus between the Chachamim and Reb Eliezer on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, whether when one who is mevatel his rights in his chatzar is also mevatel his rights in his house. Rav holds like the Chachamim that he retains his rights in his house, and therefore someone who is mevatel's rights to the chatzar is not completely removed from it and is not viewed as a member of another chatzar. Shmuel holds like Reb Eliezer, who holds that he does relinquish his rights to his house and thereby totally removing himself from the chatzar, and he's therefore considered like a resident of another chatzar and may not receive back the rights to his former chatzar. While this language is rejected by some, Rav Ashi did accept this explanation. And point number three, on the Mishnah on Daf Samach Alef Amud Beis, where Gamliel mentioned an incident with a tzeduki that lived in his chatzar, from which we learned that a tzeduki may be mevatel's rights in a chatzar. The Gemara here asks why Rabban Gamliel mentioned a tzeduki when the Tana Kama did not discuss a tzeduki at all, and answers that it's a case of a chasuri michsura. The Tana Kama stated a tzeduki hayru kanachri. A tzeduki is like a nachri in that he may not be mevatos rishus. The Rabban Gamliel omer tzeduki eno kanachri, and Rabban Gamliel said that a tzeduki is not like a nachri and he may relinquish his rights. That's why Rabban Gamliel's father told them to hurry and carry out their kelim to the Mavui, meaning the story was that the tzeduki was mevatel's rights in the chatzar, and Rabban Gamliel's father told them to carry out their kelim before the tzeduki carry out his own kelim into the Mavui and restrict them. Rashi explains that they must use the Mavui after the start of Shabbos to demonstrate that they have seized the tzeduki's rights, which he was mevatel. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Samech Ches, and this simon comes to us by way of Jeremy Shaiwitz from Woodmere, New York, and Jeremy's suggestion is schach for sukkah. So here goes. At the sukkah carnival in the chatzar covered with schach, the kids played the who gets to set up the Erev game and mevatel rishus tag, while the fathers were having a blast at the dunk the tzeduki in the water tank booth. Once again, in slow motion. At the sukkah carnival in the chatzar covered with schach, that must mean we're on daf samaches. At the sukkah carnival in the chatzar covered with schach, the kids played the who gets to set up the Erev game, which reminds us that Abai explained the various reasons why the mavui he shared with Rabba had no Erev or Shituv, and that using his bread wouldn't work because he couldn't afford to share the bread if the other residents requested it, which makes the Erev invalid. So at the sukkah carnival in the chatzar covered with schach, the kids played the who gets to set up the Erev game, and mevatel rishus tag, which reminds us that according to Rav Ashi, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin works, is based on the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer. Whether when one is mevatel rishus in the chatzar, does that mean he has automatically been mevatel his rishus in his house or not? So at the sukkah carnival in the chatzar covered with schach, the kids played the who gets to set up the Erev game and mevatel rishus tag, while the fathers were having a blast at the dunk the tzeduki in the water tank booth, which reminds us that the Mishnah on Daf Samech Alef Amud Beis was a case of a chasur michsura, and that the Tana Kama stated a tzeduki is like a nachri in that he may not be mevatel rishus, and Rabban Gamliel said that a tzeduki is not like a nachri and he may relinquish his rights. So once again, at the sukkah carnival in the chatzar covered with schach, the kids played the who gets to set up the Erev game and mevatel rishus tag, while the fathers were having a blast at the dunk the tzeduki in the water tank booth. All right, so now it's time to go to our four blot back chazara. Daf Samech Dalet. So the symbol Samech Dalet is a secret agent. A secret agent. So here goes. The secret agent. Secret agent. That must mean we're on Daf Samech Dalet. The secret agent on a mission to befriend an idolater and become his farmhand, which reminds us of the Gemara on Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis related that there was a certain mavui in which an idolater named Malchum Bar Yitzchak lived, and he refused to rent out his rights in the mavui, restricting the Jews from carrying items into it. After rejecting a couple of recommendations that Abai made to the residents, on our Daf, Rava suggested that they should let one of the residents go and develop a relationship with the idolater and then request permission to use a place in his chatzar to store something, the Havilei Kaschiro or Lakito. By doing this, he would become similar to an employee or part-time farmhand. Rashi defines a socher as a year-round employee, and a lakid is someone hired for reaping and harvesting seasons. Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, Afil Eschiro v'afil Lakito noisen eruv v'dayo. Even a Jewish employee or farmhand working for an idolater may give his share of the Erev, and this is sufficient for the idolater's dwelling. Rashi writes that the worker only has to join the Erev and does not have to rent out the owner's rights to the Jewish residents. So the secret agent on a mission to befriend an idolater and become his farmhand was told by his spymaster before departing not to drink and daven, which reminds Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, Shasui al yispalo, someone who drank wine shouldn't daven. V'im yispalo tfilaso tfila. And if he did daven, his tefillahs are valid. Shikra yispalo, someone who is drunk should not daven. V'im yispalo tefillaso toeva. And if he did daven, his tefillahs are an abomination. As two or more were taking leave of each other, one suggested they each say something that the other has never heard. For Amar Bar Rav Huna said, Lo yipatra adam mechaver al mitok dvar halakha, shemitok chach zochro. A person should not take leave of his friend except with a dvar halakha, for by doing so, he will remember him. One began by defining shasui as koshi yachlo dabru v'nei melech, as one who is still capable of speaking before a king, and the shikra as koshi eni yachlo dabru v'nei melech, as one who is not capable of speaking before a king. So the secret agent on a mission to befriend an idolater and become his farmhand was told by a spymaster before departing not to drink in daven, and to purchase the Sefer Torah if he suddenly becomes rich. Which reminds us, the other Mora asked what one should do who takes possession of a ger's estate who died with no relatives to inherit him in order that it stays in his hands. Rashi explains that since the windfall is a source of astonishment to people because he received it without any effort, it will not remain secure unless he uses part of it for a mitzvah. He answered that he should purchase a Sefer Torah with some of the monies. Rav Sheshet said that a husband who married a wealthy woman should do the same. Rashi says that his sudden gain will arouse an ayin hara, and performing a mitzvah will protect him. Rava said that even someone who invested and profited should do the same. Rav Papa said even someone who found a lost object of great value should do the same. Rav Chani and some say it was Rav Chanina said that this principle that a person will obtain his possessions if he does a mitzvah with them is learned from the pasuk Yidor Yisrael Neder. Yisrael declared a vow. Rashi explains that before Bnei Israel went to war with Arad after Aaron's death, they vowed to donate the spoils of the cities they would capture as hekdesh. With this act of tzedakah, their tefillos were answered, and they were victorious. Daf Samachay. So the symbol for Daf Samachay is sheep or a shepherd. We use a shepherd. So here goes. The wise shepherd. Shepherd, that must mean we're on Daf Samachay. The wise shepherd learning by the light of the moon, which reminds us the Gemara presents different opinions regarding the ideal time for Lumina Torah. Rav Yudah says, night was created specifically for sleeping, which Tosos explains refers to short summer nights when there's little time to learn. Reish Lakish said, Ibra Sahara El Girsa, the moon's light was created specifically for Lumina Torah. When people told Rabbi Zera that his teachings were sharp, he responded, Dimamineinu, they're from daytime study. When Rav Chisda's daughter asked him if he doesn't need to sleep a little, he responded that soon in the grave there'll be days that are long for the purpose of sleeping and short for the purpose of learning and doing mitzvahs. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Anna poli dimamianan, we who learn Torah are daytime workies, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Yazif Upara would borrow and repay his learning time. Rashi explains that if he didn't complete his learning quota during the day, he'd finish it at night. So the wise shepherd learning by the light of the moon, with a secret cup, wallet, and stress ball inside his hut, which reminds the Gemara lists many properties of wine. Rabbi Chiya said, Kol misyashiv v'yeinu yeshbo dashivim zekenim. Anyone who is settled with a clear mind, even after drinking wine, has the das of 70 judges. The gematria of yain is 70, and the gematria of sod, secret, is 70. They teach that nichnas yain yatsa sod. When wine enters a person, his secret exits, due to the loss of his inhibition. Rashi explains that therefore one whose secret does not come out and has a clear mind even after drinking is equal to the 70 judges. Rabbi Eli said, B'shloisha dvarim adam nikar. In three ways can a person's true character be perceived, b'koso, b'kisu, b'kaso, with his cup of wine, with his wallet, and with his anger. Some add also with his laughter. So the wise shepherd learning by the light of the moon, with his secret cup, wallet, and stress ball inside his hut, advised the guests at the Nachri Inn to lease the rights of the traveling tenant from the landlord, who could evict him. Which reminds us, when Reish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina visited an inn of a Nachri, where they want to stay for Shabbos, they want to know if they could lease the rights of a house of a Nachri who lived in the Chatzir with two Jews from the landlord, since the tenant wasn't home. They knew they couldn't if the landlord didn't have rights to evict the tenant before the lease expired. Their question was specifically in a case where the landlord could. Do we say that since the landlord can evict the tenant, they can lease the rights from him, or do we say that since he hasn't yet evicted him, they can't? Reish Lakish said they should, based on Safik Divrei Mulhakel, one can be lenient with a Safik Durabanim. When they returned and asked Rabbi Afez if they had done the correct thing, he told them that they had. Daf Samachvav. So the simper Daf Samachvav is a tailor sewing. A tailor sewing. So here goes. The tailor, that must mean we're on Daf Samachvav. The tailor, who was delighted that he leased the rights to a chatzar for the price of a cheap needle, just like he spent on his Erev, which reminds us on Daf Samachay Amid Beis, the question was raised, if Schiris is similar to joining in an Erev, which can only be done before Shabbos, or is it similar to Bittul Rishus, relinquishing rights, which can be done on Shabbos? When Rabbi Yochanan was told that the Rabbanim were staying at a non-Jewish inn that only had Jewish guests, leased the rights from the non-Jewish owner who arrived on Shabbos, he said that what they had done was correct, implying that Schiris is similar to Bittul Rishus and can be done on Shabbos. On our daf, the sages of Nardo asked on Rabbi Yochanan's ruling, given that Rabbi Yochanan ruled socher kama'arav dami, the rules of leasing are similar to joining in an Erev, which implies that leasing cannot be done on Shabbos. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yochanan does hold that schiros can be done on Shabbos, and when he said that leasing is similar to joining in an Erev, he meant that it's similar in joining in an Erev in three ways. One, that one may lease with a payment less than a Sheva Pruta. Two, a sochir or a lakid of an idolater can rent out his rights in a chatzar. And three, one person may lease the rights of an idolater on behalf of five Jewish residents that live in the chatzar. So the tailor, who was delighted that he leased the rights to a chatzar for the price of a cheap needle, just like he spent on his Erev, was upset to find that it was for a chatzar behind another chatzar. Which reminds us that Shmuel stated three principles for Bittul Rishus. The first one states, Kol makom she'osrim u'ma'arvin mevatrin. Any place where residents restrict a chatzar if they do not join in an Erev, and they could join in an Erev, they may relinquish their rights. Rav Sheshes gives the example of shtei chatzeros zo lifnei mizo, of two chatzeros arranged one behind the other, and the residents of the inner chatzar must pass through the outer one to reach the mavi or the rishus of rabim. The residents of the inner chatzar restrict the residents of the outer chatzar from using the chatzar because of drisus aregel, the right to pass through. Rashi explains on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph that according to Shmuel, the Chachamim only allowed Bitul Rishus when two conditions are met. One, the residents could have made an Erev together, and two, now that they did not, they become restricted in their use of the Chatzar when Shabbos begins. So the tailor who was delighted that he leased the rights to a Chatzar for the price of a cheap needle, just like he spent on his Erev, was upset to find that it was for a Chatzar behind another Chatzar, with a house in ruins in between the homes. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes about a case where a churva, a house in ruins, is situated between two inhabited houses where both residents can use it as a common chatzar and require an erev chatzeros to use it. Shmuel says, ein bitul rishus b'churva. Bitul rishus does not work to permit one of the residents to carry there. Rashi explains that the Chachamim only allowed the leniency of bitul rishus for chatzeros since people are accustomed to use them. A ruin is not regularly used. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yesh bitul rishus b'churva. There is bitul rishus in a ruin. The Miri explains that since it can be rebuilt, it falls under the rules of bitul. Daf Samach Zayin. So the symbol for Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. It was chaos in the chatzar when the Nachri hosting a barbecue. Barbecue, that must mean we're on Daf Samach Zayin. It was chaos in the chatzar when the Nachri hosting a barbecue died of a heart attack. Which reminds us, when Rav Chisna and Rav Sheshes would meet each other, Rav Chisna's lips would tremble from Rav Sheshes's vast knowledge of Mishnayos, and Rav Sheshes's entire body would tremble from Rav Chisna's analytical skills. Rav Chisna asked Rav Sheshes two questions. The second one dealt with a case where two Jews lived in the same chatzar as a Nachri. Meis Nachri b'Shabbos mahu. If the Nachri died in Shabbos, what is the halacha? May one of the Jews be mevatel zrushus to permit the other one to carry in the chatzar? Rav Chisna clarified that his question was only going according to Shmuel, who holds that two Jews cannot lease the rights of an innkeeper that returned on Shabbos to then permit one resident to be mevatel zrushus to the other. Therefore, his question was, did Shmuel prohibit it because it required both schiros and bitul rishus? But in our case, he would allow it since it only requires bitul rishus, or would he not allow it here either? Rav Sheshes answered that he holds that they can't be mevatel rishus, but Rav Hamnuna says that they cannot. So it was chaos in the chatzar when the Nachri hosting a barbecue died of a heart attack, watching his racing camels escape through the private entrance into the field. Which reminds me, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that if a Nachri who lives in the same chatzar as two Jews has an entrance of 4x4 tefachim, pasuach l'bika, which opens into an empty field, even if he brings camels and wagons in and out the entire day through the entrance of the mavui, he does not restrict the members of the mavui because it's assumed that he prefers to use his private entrance. Rashi explains that he has more open space there than in the mavui. Rav Nachman Bar Ami said that he had a tradition from his Rebbeim that afil pasulach karpaf, even if the Nachri's chatzar opens into a karpaf, he does not restrict the mavui. Rashi explains that the karpaf too has more space than the mavui. So it was chaos in the chatzar when the Nachri, hosting a barbecue, died of a heart attack, watching his racy camels escape through the private entrance into the field after knocking down a servant carrying hot water for a baby. Which reminds us, in a case where hot water which was meant to wash an 8-day-old child on Shabbos spilled out, Rabbah ruled that one could ask a non-Jew to bring hot water from Rabbah's house who lived in the chatzar, since the houses in the chatzar had not joined in an Erev or a Shita prohibiting the Jewish residents to carry. Abai relayed that he wanted to question Rabbah on this, but Rav Yosef would not permit him. Rav Yosef said in the name of Kahana that when he was in the yeshiva of Yehuda, Rav Yehuda would say, but the rice most meaning to you, with a deraisa, if one pasuk is a lenient ruling, we consider all possible refutations and only afterwards carry out the decision in practice. But the Rabbanan of Dina Maisa, Vahadim Mosvinin Tiyufta. And with the Rabbanans, if one gives a lenient psak, we carry out his decision and only afterwards do we consider possible refutations. Afterwards, Abai asked this question and Rav Yosef answered that in this case it's permitted because of Tartid the Rabbanan, commonly referred to as Shvus to Shvus. We have two Esuri de Rabbanan, Amir La'akum and carrying an Akatsu without an Erev, which therefore makes the action permitted with Tzorach Mitzvah. All right, so now we go to our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do you learn that you can discern a person's character from Koso Kisva Kaasov? That's on daf Samachay. Good. Number 2, which daf do you learn when Rabbi Yochanan said Sochek Ma'arav Dami, he meant that leasing is similar to joining an Erev in 3 ways? That's on daf Samachvav. Good. Number 3, which daf do you learn that Abai didn't make the Erev because he was learning and that he couldn't use the bread in his basket because he couldn't afford to share it? That's on daf Samaches. Good. Number 4, which daf do you learn that a Jewish employee or a farmhand of a Nachri can participate in the Erev without renting out the Nachri's rights in the chatzar? That's on daf Samach Dalet. Good. Number 5. Which definitely of a machlok is whether Rabbanim or Gozer that a Nachri living in the same chatzir with a lone Jew restricts the Jew's use of the chatzir? That's on Daf. Samach Beis. Good. Number 6. Which definitely learned that someone who suddenly becomes wealthy should purchase a sefer Torah to protect his windfall? That's on Daf. Samach Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which definitely learned that a Nachri that has a private entrance going out to a field or karpuff does not restrict residents from using the mavui? That's on Daf. Samach Zayin. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have a Malchokas Rav and Shmuel regarding Mevatlin, Vechozrin, Umevatlin? That's on Daf. Samach Es. Good. Number 9. Which daf was it that Rav Yosef said paskining even clear-cut shilas in front of one's Rebbe is forbidden? That's on Daf. Samach Beis. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that there's a Malchokas between the Tanakam and the Rav Gamliel, whether a Tzeduki has the din of a Nachri or not regarding Bitl Rishus? That's on Daf. Samaches. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do you learn about Kriya Shema Ahamita? That's on Daf. Hey and Brachas. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss verbally designating a bed to store money and its status remuksa? That's on Daf. Mem Dalet and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which daf do we have a concern that camel ropes are climbed when wrapped around the hands? That's on Daf. Nun Dalet and Shabbos. Good. That concludes our pop quiz. Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.